Hey you, how's it going? My name is Ruby Price and you are listening to the episode 33 of Fresh From The Scene. Apologies for the recent unplanned hiatus. I assure you it was never intended to go on for so long, and hopefully today's episode can bring about a new consistent run for the show. I certainly have guests lined up for future episodes already and have recorded more in the meantime. First things first, if you enjoy today's episode, I would love it if you could give a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I'll shout out all of you who leave a review to say thanks. And let's not forget the massive impact that sharing this podcast on social media will have. Remember to tag a friend who you think might also enjoy it. Now, as you know, there are some podcasts out there that do make bad entertainment, and we often wish that their silence could be golden, but that's nothing new, and all we can do is love, hate, react, and relate to our favourites. And that's right, let's get on to this week's guest, Toby Duncan, from Trash Boat, on episode 33 of Fresh From The Scene.
You're listening to Fresh From The Scene with your host, Ruby Price.
Welcome to Fresh From The Scene. Today's guest is the amazing Toby Burton from Trash Boat.
Toby Burton?
Sorry.
Toby Duncan.
I had someone called Toby Burton. I'm going to go again if that's okay.
You know what, leave it.
That's actually the second time I've done that to an artist.
Leave it in, that's great.
Yeah.
I'll be Toby Burton for today.
Toby Burton for today.
Toby Burton.
And you're joining me in Parrish, in Huddersfield?
In Huddersfield. You know, it's so hard to say Huddersfield without pronouncing the H, but you do pronounce it. It's like Huddersfield.
Huddersfield.
Like the H is still there, but you just don't say it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when they were just starting the promotion stuff for Doctor Who Series 11, all of the screen caps of Jodie Whittaker saying Huddersfield. But it was spelled Huddersfield because, you know, it's automatically done.
I've never been to this. My first ever time in Huddersfield.
Ah.
Never been here before.
Do you think you might come back?
We'll see how the show goes.
Please be good, Huddersfield crowd.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I normally start these off with, in your own words, for anyone that hasn't heard of Trash Boat, who is what is Trash Boat?
Goodness me. We're a band. I don't know how to that's a really strange question, because like when you aren't, if you can answer that question, then your band has like a brand, you know what I mean? It's really, and I don't feel like we really have a brand. Like we're five guys that write and play whatever music we vibe at the time. Like we've never really stuck to any consistent genre or style. We just sit down and we write whatever we fancy at the time, and then that ends up being Trash Boat. So we change our vibe, you know, based on the day of the week. Just depends on how we're feeling. I kind of love that about us. We're a very free-spirited band. We play what I like to think are very hectic shows, very involved. I love getting sweaty and getting in people's faces and crowd surfing and stuff. I love high energy shows, so we're always going to be writing music where people can really like rock out. Other than that, we're an enigma, we're a mystery, we're a chameleon. We are a never let them know your next move type of band. So it's hard to say, you know, what is Trash Boat, because I feel like it's constantly changing, constantly evolving.
Yeah. Well, an easier question then might be, who is Trash Boat?
Trash Boat is Toby Duncan, Oakley Moffat, James Grayson, Brian Hislop, and Dan Bostock. We've had the same members since we started. We're a family. And we love what we do. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. One of the questions I often get when I say, oh, you know, I'll be playing your music and someone's like, oh, who's this? And I'm like, Trash Boat. And they're like, oh, interesting name. It's a question I imagine has been asked a lot. But
yeah.
How do you come up with the name Trash Boat?
You either know the answer or you don't. And if you know, you know. And if you don't, then it's just the crappiest name ever. And it is. It's a rubbish name. And it looks terrible. Like on the banner that I can see there, it really does look terrible. And every time you say Trash Boat, everyone does the same thing. They go, Trash Boat. And you have to say, yes, boat. Boat, Trash Boat. Every single time. It's like a meme. It came from a cartoon called Regular Show. And the main character in that cartoon is watching a TV show, and there's a guy on that TV show who's being interviewed, and they say, how did you become so famous? And he says, I just changed my name to the first two words that came to mind. And so he looks at a picture of a boat and some trash. He changes his name to Trash Boat, and he becomes the most famous rock star in the world. So that's, we were just like, that sounds like a great name for a band. It's just a shame how terrible it looks when it's written on a shirt or on a banner.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't quite say it's trash.
Yeah, definitely semi-trash. But I mean, you know what? It doesn't matter. The name of your band is like the least important thing ever. 30 Seconds to Mars, terrible name, great band. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As long as the tunes pop, who cares?
I would totally agree with that. Yeah. So we've already mentioned, you know, first time in Huddersfield.
Sure.
What are you kind of, you know, expecting? You know, because you say you've not been. Obviously, it's a Trash Boat show, so there is that kind of, you know, expectation. But what would you kind of expect? What are you hoping happens tonight?
I'm hoping that as many people as possible squeeze into this room and feel comfortable enough that they can let go of all their inhibitions, understand that everyone else in the room is, you know, going to take care of them at a fundamental level, and therefore they can push the boundaries of social convention when it comes to enjoying music, i.e. going crazy, throwing hands, moshing, crowd surfing, getting sweaty, all that kind of stuff, because we're all out here to look after each other at the end of the day. And with that in mind, you can take risks. That's what I want.
Yeah, absolutely. I would advise, unlike what happened when Don Broco came here a couple of weeks ago, don't call the crowd Preston. apparently it was written on one of the set lists, and Rob Demiani could have gotten away with it maybe if he'd said it maybe once or twice.
He kept saying it.
But he kept saying it, so...
Nasty way to go. Hopefully I won't make that mistake. Easy mistake to make, though. I've done it in America before, where I've said the wrong city or the wrong state, and it's sacrilege. It's not great.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot about touring where sometimes, you know, you can wake up and be like, I don't even know where I am, but, you know, I'm going to play this show.
Yeah, that's what it's like a lot of the time, particularly on longer tours.
Yeah. Well, speaking of tours, you're obviously on this run of rescheduled dates, some of which not rescheduled, I don't think, but you've obviously been...
The Shikari shows aren't rescheduled, but they might be rescheduled for Shikari.
Yeah, I think an element of them was because, you know, COVID just went to shit in December.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, but... Yeah, so, you know, how have they been so far, this, like, you know, little UK run so far?
Yeah, wicked. I mean, you know, it's tough because, you know, a rescheduled show, you're going to have some people that can no longer make the rescheduled dates. But, yeah, no misses so far. They've all been awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a friend who was supposed to be coming tonight, actually, but MCR is this weekend.
There you go.
And, you know, I don't think she meant any offence, but...
No,
she's gone
to
MCR because
I would.
First time in 8 years.
I totally would. I'd go to MCR too.
I'm going tomorrow.
Ah, good for you. I can't go. There's no show that I can attend.
I know. Just very busy at the minute.
Very busy.
Yeah. But obviously, like we mentioned, you've been supporting Shikari on this run.
Yes, sir.
I want to talk about December when you guys, at literally the drop of a hat, ended up supporting them. You know, in Ali Pali and Manchester. Tell me what that was like. You know, did you just get a call out of the blue being like, we need a support?
Pretty much. I woke up to a handful of text messages and missed calls from our management, who were like, you know, I think it was Animals as Leaders, or was it Dinosaur Pileup? Dinosaur Pileup had dropped out and they needed a replacement. Were we hot for it? I mean, I was like, you know, carving the sleep out of my eyes. I was like, yeah, go on then. We had to just go and rent a van real quick, get some gear together, get some crew together, and we were on stage about 8 hours later.
Yeah.
Simple as that. It was crazy. Stepped out in front of about 10,000 people, you know, still tired.
Yeah.
Completely unexpected set, but it was great. I was terrified, but it was great.
Yeah. I mean, other than obviously, you know, having to get a van and stuff, like, how do you put a show together in that amount of time? Obviously, I think you'd just been on tour as well, hadn't you?
Yeah, I mean, we have all our gear, we have like a pretty simple setup, we've got our rig, we've got our in-ears and all that kind of stuff, and as long as we have a sound guy, someone who can mix us while we play, we're good. We can pretty much play a show at the drop of the hat, as you say. So there's not much to cobble together, because, you know, we don't have like crazy lighting rigs or pyro or anything like that.
Yeah.
So it was the van was the only difficult thing to get.
Yeah. I mean, I ended up at the... Oh, I was going to Manchester Day and seeing you guys, like... It was obviously sad to not see Dinosaur Pileup, and annoyingly because of traffic, I missed...
Nova Twins.
That's it. I saw them at Leeds. Great. But, you know, seeing you guys, like, on that thing as well, you know, just completely out of the blue and unexpected.
Yeah.
You know, it was really great, and I managed to convince a couple of people at that show to come to tonight. So,
oh, wicked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, the size of the stage was insane. The size of the crowd was... it was wild. You just couldn't really see the end of it. It was just this ocean of people. And considering no one there knew who the hell we were, or they're not expecting us at least, it was a really good show. Like, everyone moshed and kicked off, and some people knew the words. It was wicked.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's always great when a show happens like that.
Yeah.
The first time I saw you was in, I think, 2018, supporting As It Is. And I kind of went into that gig not listening to the support so that I could, you know, experience Fresh and stuff. And yeah, and it was one of those kind of experiences where it was like, you know, this is a band that I want to, like, get behind and stuff, and seeing the energy on stage as well. You know?
Yeah, I'm so lazy throughout the day. I save it all for stage.
You must do for how much there actually is.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost hard to, like, pinpoint, you know, a photo of you because it's just, it's either blurry because of movement or just, taking a little bit of break.
For sure, yeah. I'm a very, I was very sporty when I was young, and I used to be incredibly active, and ever since all of my sort of physical impairments started to set in my early 20s, I missed that kind of high energy lifestyle, so it comes out when I'm on stage, for sure.
Yeah, I can testify to that to anyone that's not heard but is listening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, get yourself down to a Trash Boat show. So about a year ago, almost a year, 10 months, 9 months, you released Don't You Feel Amazing?
How crazy is that? It feels like we just put that out and it was a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, third record, you know, end of, well, it's not end of pandemic, but I'd say that was about end of lockdown-y stuff.
Yeah, it was a lockdown album, for sure. Yeah. We wrote it in lockdown, we recorded it in lockdown, we spent a lot of time mixing it and then released it sort of towards the end of lockdown.
Yeah. We had, like, you know, it's nearly a year on now. Like, how do you feel that, you know, that whole thing has been across this year? You know, fans have loved it. There have been some people that, you know, complained, but...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know what it's like. We definitely alienated a portion of our fan base, which I understand because, we didn't use any, like, fast beat. And it wasn't like scatty post-hardcore pop-punk like we usually did. And I get that, you know, I was 18 once... and, you know, bands that were screaming a lot started to sing. Bands that played fast would start to release slower music. They would grow up. And I was that 18-year-old kid that was just like, oh, this isn't the album that means so much to me. This isn't the sound that I grew up with. Therefore, I hate this. And I stopped listening to a bunch of them. And then when I sort of hit my early to mid-20s and I started listening to the albums that I'd ignored retroactively out of spite, I was like, oh, these are actually really good. So I know exactly what it's like to be that person who has a band that you love and then they kind of switch up their genre a little bit and you're like, oh, I'm not really fucking with this anymore. I know exactly how that feels. I'm not judging anyone because I used to do that. But, this latest album is just by far the best music we've ever written. And I know there's going to be loads of people that disagree with that because of how much the previous albums meant to them at the time. And how much they listen to them and, you know, the type of music that they listen to. I totally get that. But unfortunately, objectively, it's just the best stuff we've ever put out. It's got just the coolest vibes, sick riffs.
Great people on it as well.
Yeah, some great features. And I think it's kind of, it's set the stage for a future in just like that kind of music and that kind of vibe. When we were writing it, we started with Crown Shyness Part 2 type stuff.
Yeah.
And we just threw a couple demos and we're like, yeah, they were good, but none of them were truly getting our engines running. We was just like, this feels like Crown Shyness B-sides, which isn't an insult, but it's just like we wanted to just switch it up and like just have something that was just really tickling our creative bones. You know what I mean? Like, we just didn't want to put out the same thing again. We want to switch it up.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favourite bands at the minute, Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes. Obviously, Frank Carter's gone through so many different periods. You know, we had Gallows, Pure Love, Frank Carter. You know, each single one of those has its own sort of, you know, core identity and
totally.
Core fan base that, you know, think, oh, this is the best version, this is the best version. But ultimately, I think what Frank's been doing with the Rattlesnakes has kind of shown that, you know, genre doesn't quite matter across, as long as the band's making music that they like, and for the most part mean. You know, not every song has to have the deepest meaning of all time, you know.
Well, the simple fact is if we'd have kept going with the Crown Shyness vibes, it would have been because we wanted to capitalise on the success of Crown Shyness and please our audience, and not because it was what we wanted to write. At the end of the day, we wrote and will always write what we want to write, no matter what genre that is. Like, if we put out a country album next, it's because we all fucking love country and we wanted to write that type of music.
Yeah.
Simple fact. We're not just going to write an album because it's what we think our fans want. Like, respect to the fans, we want them to like our music for sure, but I mean, the ones that waved goodbye when we put out this album is like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you don't like it, you don't like it. But I think we alienated a bunch of fans, but we gained loads more.
Yeah.
Like, brand new people, so it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Absolutely. I mean, like I say, as long as... I think, actually, when I saw you in Leeds last year, you said, you know, it's music that makes me feel sexy.
There you
and
go.
And that's one hell of a tagline.
We all need music that makes us feel sexy, man.
Yeah, especially just to listen to as well.
Yeah,
But yeah, I want to touch on, obviously, the song He's So Good is on it.
Sure.
You've got, you know, the Pride Flags on merch, which I think is great, because it functions as two functions. It's band merch, and also it's also kind of, you know, telling other people who are in the LGBTQ community, hey,
yeah,
I'm a cool person, feel free to speak to me if you want.
Sure.
Doubles as Pride merch. I've seen a lot of positive response from the LGBTQ community, like, about this song, obviously.
Yeah.
It touches on a bit of a, you know, unfortunate subject, ultimately, but the deepest meaning that I've seen, you know, translated across from it is, you know, don't be afraid to be who you are, and don't be afraid to love who you love, and
totally
stuff like that.
And, you know, it's really weird. I juxtapose myself all the time and contradict myself all the time, because it's like you say, we have a pride flag on the shirt, but that symbol in and of itself is a... like a symbol that categorizes people, and that's what I want to not do. So even saying something like queer, because that's the lyric that I use, or LGBT or something like that, all of these things are convenient for people that are still trying to sort of figure themselves out, or maybe make bold statements against their oppressors or something like that. But ideally, I want to live in a world where those kinds of labels are not necessary. I don't want to say that I'm bisexual. I don't want to say that I'm part of the LGBTQ community. I don't want to say any of these things that put me in any kind of box, because I reserve my right to love and to act however I choose when it comes to the people that I'm attracted to, or the people that I date romantically, or whatever. So what I... because, you know, heterosexual people don't need to...
they don't need to come out.
Yeah, they don't need to explain themselves in any way. And I want to not have to explain myself in any way. So people are like, oh, are you part of the LGBT community? It's like, for convenience sake, yes, because that's the short answer. But the very long answer is, I'm literally just me. I exist in my own little void of actions and thoughts, and I am unapologetically myself. If I want to date a dude, I will date a dude. If I want to date a girl, I'll date a girl. If I want to date something in between, I'll date something in between. And pronouns and all that kind of stuff, like, I'm happy for people to have whatever wild pronouns or wild, like, romantic desires that they want. But it's one of those where if you have a different pronoun, or like even if it's just like they, them, or something like that, fair enough. But if you can't exist or function in the real world without everyone else around you using those pronouns to validate you, you're gonna struggle.
Yeah.
You're really gonna struggle. Because I understand why people want different pronouns, or why they don't feel like they meet masculine or feminine criteria. Maybe they're a little bit confused. But then when you start introducing things like pronouns into your life, you then introduce everyone else on the planet having to conform to your new identity in order to make you feel good. And I want to alleviate that necessity from people. That's a big like burden to put on yourself, because most of the people on this planet don't fucking care, and the worst ones are going to act intentionally against you just to make you feel uncomfortable. And it's like, you can bypass all of that by just fucking off pronouns and fucking off labels like LGBTQL. These are the types of people that I date, and just do.
Yeah.
Just do, just exist. And then if someone gets in your way and they're like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like, that's a them problem. You can move past them. You can deal with it as it happens. But yeah, so I understand why people do it, and I understand why people like have pronouns and labels and stuff like that. I personally do not in any way, shape or form. If someone asked me my pronouns, I would encourage them to assume, because it's much simpler, and I'm a very lazy, simple man, and I just want to be able to drift lazily through this life without having to worry about whether someone is validating me with my pronouns or whether someone is making me feel good about my sexuality or my gender. It's like, it's nothing to do with anyone else, that is me. And I don't want the onus of responsibility for that on anyone else, because I don't trust anyone else. You know, I have friends that are non-binary and have they then pronouns, and I always accidentally misgender them, because like, when you're just talking in conversation and you're not thinking about it, you accidentally say she, and it's like, oh, you keep kind of second guessing yourself. And I do my best, but at the end of the day, most people are just going to kind of accidentally go to the binaries, because that's what we've been doing for like thousands of years, and I'm not going to be mad at them about that. You know what I mean? If someone gets my sexuality wrong, it's like, I don't care, bro. I don't care, unless you're like coming up in my face and being like directly mean to me and trying to make me feel bad. If someone just like slips up, it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care. And it's like, and if you do that, and then, you know, someone might get really upset, and it's like, save yourself the trouble.
Yeah.
Don't get so upset by it. Just like, I don't know, you know, but, you know, some people can't help how they feel. They can't help because of their experiences. You know, maybe they've suffered a lot of trauma when it comes to their identity and their gender. I totally get that. I'm not trying to change people or get them to go against their grain. I'm trying to create a space where you don't
None
have to
matters.
Go against any grain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just chill. Just be.
Yeah. I think as well, a lot of it comes down to, you know, we all kind of, the human race is so different amongst different people that, you know, we've tried to categorize it down to, you know, a binary format.
Exactly.
It doesn't work like that.
It's really confusing as well, because like, you've got all these, you know, hyper conservatives and old school people that are just like, no, it's male and female, nothing else. And it's like, okay. But on the other side of the coin, it is a potentially infinite series. This is the thing about identity. Like, we live in this day and age where you can sculpt your own identity, and we've kind of sussed, or we've decided that male and female isn't a binary thing, and that there's loads of stuff in between. It's like, well, there's a potentially infinite series in between. I love that.
Yeah.
Not a problem. You can identify however you want, but then if you're gonna go to the rest of the world and be like, well, I've picked from this infinite series, I've picked this really specific thing, and you have to use that, otherwise I'm gonna feel terrible. It's like, save yourself a heartache and just, you know, have that thing, and then just, you know, if people use it, great. If not, it's like, whatever. You know?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, I can, like I say, I agree. You know, and I'm saying that as someone that, for a lot of their life, made their whole identity based around being trans, which, you know, I'm 26. I'm 26 now. It doesn't matter.
It's one of them. Like, and there's conversations to be had on both sides of the argument. Because, you know, when you're talking to these hyper-conservatives, they're just like, it's just male and female. It's like, come on, man. Stop being so obtuse. Just accept the fact that this is a malleable system. Like, if you go to the doctor and they ask whether you're male or female, just answer with the biological answer, because they're trying to help you. You know, if you're unwell, you know, don't be difficult when it comes to your health. You know, those kinds of things. So, like, but when you're talking to these people that deny the spectrum or deny the malleability of it, then it's like, you need to have a stern word with them and be like, look, stop being such a dick, stop being so hateful, and let people explore themselves, and just try your best to accommodate pronouns and sexualities and genders and all that kind of stuff. Try your best. But then on the other side, with the people that are exploring their sexuality, exploring their genders, it's like, do it, explore it, be bold. I love when people have unique personalities and unique identities, but you need to chill. you need to chill, because if you're going to go to all of these older generations and be like, this is my neo pronoun, this is my hemi demi pan whatever sexuality, and if you don't call me by these exact names in all specific scenarios, then I'm going to get you done for like a hate crime, and I'm going to be really upset, and I'm going to get you cancelled. It's like, relax. Yeah. There's conversations that need to be had on both sides so that we all can meet in the middle in this very neutral, blasé space where everyone can just be and get along. So, yeah, I feel pretty strongly about the conversations needing to be had on both sides. And everyone just needing to chill. Just relax. Not that deep.
Absolutely. So, as we were just saying before we started, you've obviously just come off the back of a USA run supporting Boston Manor.
Yes.
You know, how was that? You know, I've been to some foreign gigs, namely I went to a festival in Belgium, but like the crowds feel different, but you know, everyone's still there because they love the music. Mm. You know, how does taking a band like Trash Boat across to stateside, like, how does that translate?
Yeah, they love it. I mean, the more Americanized your singing accent is, the more the Americans love you. So bands like Don Broco and then Shikari and stuff like that, like, they, relative to their success in England, they kind of struggle. I mean, you know, struggle is a strong word. They're still comfortably selling out like 300 to 500 cap venues. Like, yeah. It's sick. But like, you know, in England, they're selling 10,000.
Yeah. I heard Biffy Clyro have a similar problem.
Yeah, Biffy Clyro eats shit in America because of the thick Scottish accent. Yeah. And we sing in a sort of relatively English-ish accent. But we do well, you know, like that tour was three very English bands, you know, Boston Manor, Higher Power and us. And we were doing really well. We were crushing on merch every night. Every band, and Anxious as well, but they're American, every band on that run were just incredible human beings. It was just three English mates, and then Anxious, you know, the young band, they kind of joined in, and they're immediately just like in the fold. It was great. It was like a UK invasion. It was wonderful.
Yeah,
it was an awesome tour.
I'll tell you which band will like actually be doing rather well on that front though, as it is obviously with now. Yes. They've got two American members.
Yep, totally.
Yeah, I keep going back to As It Is. I can't help it, I'm sorry.
Great band, great people.
Yeah, since I found Patty's YouTube channel, like, that was just kind of like...
I remember Patty's YouTube channel, yeah, back in the day.
Before it was Patty Waters, it was The Colour of Infinity.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I didn't know. I'm not that back in the day.
I mean, I've been on YouTube a long time.
I see.
I've got a quick fire round to...
Lightning round.
Wrap up.
So good at lightning round.
Most of them are A or B. The last two are a bit more open-ended.
Love it. Hit me.
So, Reading or Leeds?
Reading.
Ooh. I think you might be... No, you're the second person, I think, to say Reading on this now, actually.
Yeah, Reading.
Yeah.
What, I mean, is in festival or just place?
Festival.
Reading.
MIDI instruments or real instruments?
Real.
Intimate gigs or stadium gigs?
Intimate.
Pro Tools or Logic?
Pro Tools.
Ooh, first person to say Pro Tools.
I'm not a Mac user.
Fair enough. Streaming or physical media?
You know what? Streaming. I mean, there is a ritual to physical media. I get it. But I like the idea of it, and I have loads of vinyl, and I just rarely listen to them. Streaming is just, it's much more convenient.
Yeah, I've got a Kallax full of vinyl.
Yeah.
And I'll just sit there on Apple Music being like, next song.
Like, I like the ritual and I get it, and getting vinyl is nice. So, like, there is a charm to physical media, but the, like,
storage empirically. Is
yeah, and empirically, in my life and my experience, it would be disingenuous of me to say physical media because I mostly stream.
Yeah. bedroom or studio? Studio.
I mean, studio. Studio.
Studio. Yeah. Studio. Song on repeat at the minute.
Song on repeat at the minute. I'd need my phone because there are some. Everything's the Same by Nine Inch Nails is always on repeat. But I'm trying to think of something like really hooky that. Because it's on the tip of my tongue. I'm not like God damn it. Yeah, no, everything's the same. Nine Inch Nails. That's what I like. That.
Yeah.
Every day is exactly the same. Huge.
Yeah.
Tell you what, Battle of Pelennor Fields from the Return of the King soundtrack.
Oh, that
massive.
Is
massive.
Nice.
Yeah, massive.
Yeah. The most of the whole soundtrack
Yeah, just insane. Howard Shore, is it?
Howard Shore
losing his fucking mind. He loses his fucking mind.
I love the meme of, all right, Howard, we're just, you know, they're just some guys on horses running towards, you know, an army. Doesn't need to be anything special. And then, like, sat at a piano on fire. Yeah.
Love it.
So, album of 2022 so far.
Glow On, Turnstile. Or was that 2021?
I don't know.
No, it was 2021, wasn't it? Glow On.
It didn't make it onto my shortlist.
I think Glow On might have been 2021. God, who's released music in 2022?
It has been a very singles-dominated market so far this year.
Yeah.
When we were young,
playing Trash Boat down in the lob.
Oh, For Those That Wish to Exist was 2021 as well.
Oh my God! Who's put out an album in 2022?
Again, going back to them, as it did.
Yeah, as it did. Spirit Box, were they 2022? I think that was 2021 as well, you know.
You've not been keeping up with a lot of 2022.
I'm waiting patiently for my Best of the Year 2022 album. So I have no answer.
No answer yet. Okay. I'll get back to you in December.
Kendrick's new album.
Ooh.
Kendrick's album's fire. That's 2022.
I've been hearing a lot about Kendrick's album.
Yeah, Kendrick's album's very good.
Yeah.
Could go with a safe answer and say Kendrick.
Yeah. I'll get back to you in December about, just to confirm.
Totally.
So is there anything whilst I've got you would like to plug? Anyone you want to give a shout out to?
Anything we'd like to plug? I mean,
where can people find Trashboat?
Yeah, I mean, don'tyoufeelamazing.com or trashboat.co.uk. We have European tours coming up with Enter Shikari. We've got festivals coming up. We've got a High Five Summerfest, Rock for People, I think it's called as well. Shows with Enter Shikari in Europe, headline shows in Europe, shows with Enter Shikari in America. Shows with I Prevail in Europe and England coming up in March of next year. All of these available on the Trashboat website. You can either just Google Trashboat or go at don'tyoufeelamazing.com. Me personally, I mean, twitch.tv/Toby Duncan if you want to watch me play Elden Ring and be sweaty. That's pretty much the only content you're going to get there. I teach alternative vocal tech, so I teach like singing and shouting. So if anyone is interested in lessons from me, tobyduncanvoices@gmail.com. Drop me an email or DM me on Instagram or via Twitch or whatever. That's about it.
Yeah, definitely not Toby Burton.
Not Toby Burton at all. And new music on the way, obviously. We're going into the studio later this month. Early in June, and we're going to be writing some new music, so there is new music on the way.
That's good to hear. And I can't wait to hear it.
Me either. Yeah. It's going to be great.
Well, thank you very much.
No worries, anytime.
You're listening to Fresh from the Scene with Ruby Price.
Thank you very much for listening. I do hope you enjoyed that. If you did, please consider taking less than 5 minutes to leave a review and give this podcast a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at FFTScene, that's FFTScene, or you can find me on the socials at Rubes, that's RUUBEZ, or possibly RUUBEZ001, depending on what platform. You'll figure it out. With any luck, I'll be back next week with another guest, but until then, I've been Ruby Price, and this was Fresh from the Scene. Thank you very much, and goodbye.